Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. Oh my God, it's different, like, not seeing you when we do this.
Oh, do you miss my face?
I do. It's so weird just seeing, like... sound waves just go across the screen.
It's kind of mesmerizing, actually. I'm just like watching my voice, like, ha. If I talk really loudly, they go really big.
Oh no, hang on, mine never looked that loud.
No, it's fine. It's always fine on the recording. Basically, guys, we just had a nightmare. Our laptops just can't function in this heat, much like us. So that's why you haven't had an episode for ages, and that's why there was a massive gap between the last two episodes. But here we are. We're attempting. It is 9:15 in the morning, so hopefully we won't die of heat stroke.
Exactly.
Because we have to shut our windows, guys. I think that's dedication, shutting our windows in this heat. And if you're confused, in the UK we're having a massive heat wave and we can't deal with it because our houses are not built for heat waves. We have no aircon. We both live in rooms that are in the loft, which means it's just blooming hot all the time. So
indeed it is. Also, you don't really want to hear like the bus drive past as we're talking.
London buses, the sirens or anything like that.
Also, I live opposite a school, so like you kids normally hear the kids playing in the playground. That actually happened on the work call. It's like, oh
yeah, but no
children.
One cares. No one cares on our work call.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Oh my God, yesterday, the flat upstairs. So, like, my flat's on two levels. So, someone's living room is like next to my room above our living room. And somebody was getting new carpet done. And it was just like bang, 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 bang all day. And I literally went insane. And then I went out this morning and there's just like little bits of carpet everywhere in the corridor. And I just loudly was like, I hope my neighbours are going to clear this up. I'm not hoovering the stairs because of their work that disrupted me all day. But anyway. Neighbour wars.
I won't even start with my neighbour and his guitar.
I don't know my neighbours, so I can bitch about them.
I do. And actually, like, my neighbours are all lovely. But, like, one of them, the one, my opposite neighbour, like, wall-wise, so my neighbour that's across from me, like, on the other side of the wall, has a guitar, and it's honestly just like the most annoying thing always.
Oh my God.
And it just makes it so hard to concentrate when you're on calls, because it's not even the guitar, it's the singing. And it's like, even if he was a good singer, like, that's really distracting when you're trying to concentrate on what you're doing.
Yeah.
But he isn't a very good singer. So.
Oh, bless him.
Do you remember when I took that voice note and I sent it to you?
Yeah. I was alarmed, yeah. Well, if it makes you feel any better, someone near my flat has got a really yappy dog, and it starts yapping at like 3 a.m. and then you just hear like the neighbours being like, shut up!
God.
Oh, it's a nightmare. Anyway, you watched Love Island last night.
It was wild. Oh my God. Where did Hugo pipe up from? It's like a sit down, mate.
Oh my God, I don't like him. I'm just gonna put that out.
No,
there.
I don't like him either.
I haven't warmed to his character.
Everyone keeps comparing him to Dr. Alex and Fair. I didn't actually really watch that season, but I just feel like he's been sat there having a 3 week holiday doing nothing. They've actually catered, like, given him girls that, like, he's this, okay, AJ maybe not like the fake part, but like, they've actually given him
but
girls.
But that fake thing was ridiculous anyway, when he was like, oh, I don't like fake girls.
Yeah.
Okay, honey. They don't like you either.
He's had plenty of opportunity and he's going for a girl that, quite frankly, like, I don't think Hugo is his type, because when she's been in there, the guys that she's gone for have been like Aaron and Toby, and when Tyler came in, she was like, he is fit. The girl likes black men. At least I think she does, based on like what we've seen. I just don't think she's there for you, Hugo. Like, and it was the way that he was just like caressing her thighs, like rubbing her cheek of her
ass.
yesterday.
Oh my God. I noticed that actually. I thought that was really gross. Also, she's just happy that she's been saved because she thought she was being dumped. She's got no interest in Hugo whatsoever. And to be honest, like, Hugo, like, I didn't really have, like, an opinion on him until he just fully parred that girl off after one chat. Even though she is exactly his type. And just because she says she likes horses, he was like, nah.
I was like, red flag.
Sorry, honey, what's wrong with horses?
It's like, red flag. I was just like, look, I mean, Toby's an idiot. I'm not excusing his behaviour.
No, he is an idiot. No, he literally is an idiot. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
He's like, but I feel like them combusting was karma for how they treated Kaz.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I feel like
because
that was
they
karma.
Weren't. The thing is, the way they treated Kaz, like they just kissed behind her back, and then it took them like a whole day to tell her as well. So like they didn't just go behind her back; they then lied about it and like didn't say anything for ages. She did two bad things in my eyes.
But Chloe was sneaky though, because then she took Toby on that challenge. Like, if you were interested in getting to know Toby, she could have sat Kaz down before and been like, look, I actually think I might like him. I want to put him for a chat. So it wouldn't come as a surprise to Kaz in that challenge that she would take Toby and kiss him all up and that. Because that, to me, I thought was disrespectful too. Like, that came out. That was like, you would feel blindsided by that if you hadn't already had that conversation. So, yeah, I just think, I understand that Toby and Chloe are a bit further down the line. They had done stuff, than Kaz and Toby. I don't want to compare it because
I guess it is different, but like also lol.
But like this, Abby said that she came to fuck shit up and she actually just did, and I'm here for it. So let's I'm excited. The thing is, Hugo's gone in with all that vim, and I'm sure the producers told him that he had to choose Chloe, and I'm sure the producers told Toby that he had to pick Abby, because like things are going to get cooking now, like, so I'm happy for that. But he ain't the kind of guy to stand behind that all that vim. He ain't.
As soon as someone confronts him, he's going, oh, I'm sorry. Do you remember when he cried because he said that he didn't like fake girls and then Faye got annoyed?
Yeah.
Fair enough, to be honest, that Faye got annoyed. Yeah. Also, he says he doesn't like fake girls. Okay, here's my hot take. He says he doesn't like fake girls, but I think he likes girls that look like they've had work done and haven't had work done, because he likes girls who are society's view of like a pretty attractive girl, right?
Yeah. And,
but he wants them to not have had work done, but it's really unrealistic because he actually wants them to look like they've had work done in order to fit that ideal. So basically he's just an idiot because he's not going to find what he wants because it doesn't exist.
Yeah,
that's my hot take.
Thanks
for coming to my TED Talk.
I like how Ian Sterling's just like, in this episode of TED Talks, <'cause> of TEDing, it'll be interesting to see what happens next. And like, he isn't interested. They actually gave him what he said, I don't know.
Can we say
he's
though,
there for holiday?
Yeah, no, he is. But they better not do Casa Amor just yet, because we need Kaz and what's his name?
Tyler
to get stronger before they do Casa Amor.
Probably like it's on for 8 weeks. So next
Casa Amor is coming though. Like it is soon.
It's we're almost to the fourth week.
Because there's too many couples now, so they need to shake stuff up.
I need to see Jake and Liberty like shook.
Jake's gonna leave Liberty at Casa Amor. Faye and Teddy. I've got high hopes for Teddy. He's being really nice to oh my God, I almost called her Liv then, because she's Faye. He's being really nice to Faye, I think.
Yeah, I like them together. I like Millie and Liam together. I don't like Jake and Liberty because I think Liberty deserves better than Jake.
Liberty is an angel sent from heaven.
And like I think because he's been like safe or like not in the bottom for anything, I think he realizes that he's onto a good thing with Liberty. Whether it's just, maybe it's one of those things where he will slowly come around to actually fully having his heart in it with her. But I don't know. I mean, Hugo had a point. All of this, I need to test this kind of stuff. Like, what Hugo was saying wasn't wrong, but just in that moment wasn't right.
So, also, like, he actively encouraged Toby to, like, sack off Kaz behind her back. So I don't see how he can actively encourage that and then all of a sudden... It's just because he wants to get in Chloe's pants,
and then
basically.
He actively encouraged Chloe to sack it off with Toby. The guy's a game player, I'm telling you. He's been sitting there plotting for weeks, and now he's going to take his lesson plan and execute it.
Have you seen all those tweets of, like, not long until Hugo finds out that he's... no longer got a job because, like, basically the school fired him. He doesn't know.
Are you surprised? You must know.
I think he must know. Yeah. You, and also you're not going to go on Love Island if you intend to carry on being a teacher.
No, exactly.
You're just not. Like, that's just not a thing, is it? Like,
no. You couldn't go back to the job and you couldn't expect the kids to respect you. So,
well, yeah, exactly. Like, they're all going to be watching it, aren't they? They've seen their teacher, like, graft some girl on national TV.
He was just like, oh yeah, I've had sex in the road. I mean,
did he say that?
Yeah, do you remember when they were doing all of their things and he was just like, yeah, I've
I have
sex
missed a few
in the street.
I actually was going to stop watching it, Ellie, until you were like, oh, it gets really good. And I was like, oh, damn it, I'm back in it.
Basically, when they had Danny in, not that he was great, it was actually really uncomfortable to watch him for the few days that he was
those
in.
Episodes.
But it started to pick up then, slightly. But yeah, it was really uncomfortable because given what we knew out here, he was still in there and everyone was like, how could you kick out Sharif for something that was like...
But like, why did the... Like, surely the producers have to go and do like some vetting of the, of the people before they go in. Like, I'm a bit shook that they let him go in. Yeah. Like, surely they've got some sort of duty of care to make sure that who they're putting in that villa is not a complete arsehole.
Yeah, I mean, look how quick they were to, like, not let that guy in that was the trophy hunting guy.
Oh, he got sent home, didn't he?
Yeah, they sent him home. But this guy can
use a
racial slur and he can stay in that, not right.
How did it come out that he... That he'd posted that quote. Did someone find it and put it on Twitter?
What, the...
Danny, I mean.
Oh, so as soon as, like, yeah, literally, as soon as, like, they go, this is the new guy, everyone, like, knows his personal job security number, everything about him. It literally was, like...
It took the public about 3 seconds, then the producers could have done it, couldn't they?
Yeah. It wasn't even like an old post either. It was, like,
really?
A few months ago. And he was using... the M word in a way, like, not with an ER, with an A, but he was using it in conversation with a friend. So which isn't the point. He just shouldn't use it.
It's really not that hard, is it? We've talked about this before. It's just really not that hard to understand that you can't use that word. Like,
it's not your word. It's not a word that you can use.
Like, use a different word, for God's sake.
Just like if you want to go, oh, mate, yeah, or something like that, or you're right, mate, or you're right, love, but he was like, my, and it's
I have seen the screenshot.
It's like, no, hon. Why? I just don't understand.
It's really uncomfortable.
Because it's in his vocabulary. That is the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means there's other things in his vocabulary. If it can come so easy for him to say it to someone in a way that is like, then it, that is what loving in that context.
But
it can come so easy to him to use it in a way that is... to weaponize it in a different context. It's in his vocabulary. He just shouldn't be there.
Well, he's out now, at least.
Yeah, also, and then we haven't even, and I don't think we should go into a tangent, but, like, the whole gaslighting of Lucinda when he was
I haven't watched that episode, so I'm really glad I haven't watched it, because I think it would have made me really angry, and I am not here for that.
You could see she was uncomfortable, though, like, she was scared of him. Because
that's
she was so just like, I don't understand why he's so angry because I went and had a chat with Aaron. Fair enough, Aaron, like, it was just, Aaron was doing what you're supposed to be doing. He was in there in the island. He'd made his intentions. It was known that he wanted to get to know Lucinda.
Also, Danny doesn't want to kiss her. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm really glad he's out anyway, and I'm glad I didn't watch that episode. But yeah. I mean, we have just talked about Love Island for, like, 15 minutes, but we are now a Love Island podcast, guys. just say.
At least for the next 8 weeks. And like, I have been dipping into the USA one, although they stopped putting full episodes on YouTube, which is sad. So I can't
handle more than one series at a time.
But that was good from the jump, you know.
normally Love Island's better. I struggle morally with the fact that I watch it, to be honest, because I'm like, it's just such a toxic show. But also, it just really relax. It's just like, oh, 9 o'clock, gonna watch Love Island, then go to bed.
Yeah,
just a little routine, isn't it?
Get ready for bed as you're watching it.
Yeah, but anyway, today we're actually the book that we're going to talk about, because you know we're bookish. You've had the ish, and now we're going to talk about the book. Is Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which is an excellent, excellent book. So
it is indeed. It was one of my top two from last year.
Top two.
It's just so that
precise.
I didn't have a third. I didn't have a third. It was that and the Vanishing Half.
I think it was in my top five, actually. Should I have a look? Should I tell you? Because do you remember I ranked all my books?
Yeah, you did.
From like, so I read, how many books did I read last year?
50-something.
56. Yeah, 56 books last year. And I ranked them all. It took me ages. okay. It was number six for me. So my first was The Flatshare, lol. Second was Captain Crowley's Mandolin. Third was Ghosts. Fourth was The Beekeeper of Aleppo. Fifth was Educated. And then sixth was Daisy Jones and the Six. So there you go. But
yeah,
I didn't read The Vanishing Half last year, so don't worry, guys. I haven't excluded it from my top five.
No, that was just from 2020. I mean,
yeah, that was 2020.
I couldn't decide between the two, but I really liked that. Maybe that was my second of last year. But then after that, it's just a bit vague. Maybe Where the Crawdads Sing, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you really liked that, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I liked the image. We'll go into that next week. I'm not going to talk about it now.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, I'll hold my thoughts on that. But I really liked it. And yeah, it's a good book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think we both really liked Daisy Jones and the Six. I think mostly because the way it's written, isn't it?
It's just really fun.
Yeah.
It's such a fun retelling of the rise and fall of this pop band in the 70s. Like, she could have told this in any other way, but like you said, the structure, the giving it the behind the music type feel and doing it like an interview is what really just made this brilliant.
Yeah, it was just so great. Like, I loved reading, like, the same thing from, like, five different people. And, like, I think it's really easy to read because it's just, like, little snippets. Like, and it's like, okay, for example, I've just literally turned to a random page. And it's like, Karen, a few weeks after I joined the band... a few weeks after I joined the band, I said, we need a new name. The June? D-U-N-N-E? June? Billy Dunn. Is it Dunn?
It's Dunn, I think. Yeah. The Dunn brothers... would be one in, though.
Yeah.
It's Dunn, I think.
That linguistics are great. the Dunn brothers didn't make sense anymore. And then it's like, Eddie, I'd been saying we need a new name. And then Billy's like, we had a following with that name. I didn't want to change it. And then Warren's like, we couldn't decide what to call ourselves. I think somebody suggested the Dipsticks. I wanted us to go by Shaggin. So they're all talking about this name change, but like all separately. I just love that. Because then you're like, it's really funny because one person says something and then, yeah.
Yeah, so. It's really cool. I've lost my notes. it's just really cool the way that they sort of, you feel the energy of the band through that way as well, don't you feel?
Yeah.
Like their synergy, their relationships, their like the relationships they have with each other and across the band.
Should I read out the blurb quickly?
Yeah.
So for a while, Daisy Jones and the Six were everywhere. Their albums were on every turntable. They sold out arenas from coast to coast. Their sound defined an era. And then on the 12th of July 1979, they split. Nobody ever knew why until now. They were lovers and friends and brothers and rivals. They couldn't believe their luck until it ran out. This is their story of the early days and the wild nights, but everyone remembers the truth differently. The only thing they all know for sure is that from the moment Daisy Jones walked barefoot onto the stage at the Whiskey, the band were irrevocably changed. Making music is never just about the music, and sometimes it can be hard to tell where the sound stops and the feelings begin.
Yeah, because we pick up the journey at the very beginning in the formation of the Six, which is the passage that you had just read, then like them choosing their name.
Mm.
And it's, I don't know if it's, I would say it's slow. I think things definitely pick up when Daisy is introduced, but it's about how it's sort of a setting the scene, establishing
yeah.
the group dynamic. So I can't remember all of the names of everyone, and my book is over there. But there is there's Billy and his brother Graham, there's Karen, and then there's two other brothers, right?
They're
or friends.
Yeah.
One's
so
like a bassist, one's like a drummer. I don't know.
Yeah, so there is what's happening here? So that is Billy.
Billy, which is like that he's a lead male. He's the lead male in the band.
Yeah. So there's Billy, Karen, Eddie, Warren. Is Graham the tour manager?
The tour manager is called.
Oh no, Rod. I don't know, there's too many names. There's a lot of names, guys. There's a lot of people. But Billy is the main guy. And then he's married to Camilla. And she also features heavily. And then, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, Billy, yeah. And then Billy is... But like, Graham always has Billy's back. Graham is Billy's brother. And,
yeah.
Like, as you go on, like, as we go on, like, we can... talk about it more, like there's this like one moment where he's just like, oh shit, Billy, I needed Billy in this moment and he wasn't there. But most part they have a really good sibling relationship. He sort of let Billy take the lead and he backs him in that yeah. way. And then you have like, what was it, Ed and Warren, I can't remember, but one of them really just doesn't like Billy. He thinks Billy's really arrogant. Mm. He thinks it's all about himself. But you understand the group dynamics there. You understand that Billy is in love with Camilla. Camilla is like that woman. She is like his ride or die. She
yeah.
makes the house a home when he comes back from tour. And she's willing to like, is she willing to overlook stuff? She overlooks a lot.
She's very understanding, and like with all the addiction and stuff, like she is very good with it all because they have kids and stuff. And
yeah.
I don't know, it's just a bit.
She's very much like, okay, I don't want to. You do what you do on tour, but when you come home, this is where you're at, and you leave that at the door.
Yeah.
So, like, she's a good woman. Until she's like, she does that and then she doesn't, like, until Daisy comes along, and then I think she draws a line in the sand with a lot of things. But you understand they go, oh, and then Karen and Graham are...
Don't they get together?
They do get together. They were really cute.
Secretly, I like them.
I love that. He hardcore loved her.
Oh.
Like, hardcore loved her. And she just
so
was
cute.
Like, fine.
I love a little romance story.
Yeah. Yeah. It was lovely. So like they meet, they form together in like Pennsylvania, and then they like transition to the West Coast as the Six. And then like, as you read on the back of the cover calf, they meet Daisy Jones at the Whiskey.
Mm.
What was it? I think their manager had.
Yeah. So they had the same manager, and basically Daisy Jones tried to do solo, and then the management didn't like any of her original songs and wanted her to sing other stuff, and she basically was like, no, I'm not doing it. And then Billy wrote a song that they thought was better for a female voice, and then they had the same manager or something, and they were like, let's get Daisy Jones to sing it. And then they sing that one song together, and then they get her to join, and they change the name from the Six to Daisy and the Six.
Daisy Jones.
But
yeah.
I think like there's a lot of stuff in the book about how like Billy and Daisy both like are like they have a bit of a war as to who's like in charge of the like creative side of things, don't they? And like quite often Billy falls out with the rest of the band because he wants to do it one way, but like everybody else is like, nah. So there's like a few creative differences.
Yeah, he's so used, before Daisy though, he was so used to having his own way about what the creative direction was,
yeah,
until he met Daisy. And then they do that thing where they sort of lock themselves in. I always think about that scene in like the Freddie Mercury movie a few years ago, where they lock themselves in into that cabin.
But yeah,
this is like just Daisy and Billy in this moment, and they like just flesh it all out and they come
together. That's a good point.
They have like a Daisy, to give her some context, is like the child of two very wealthy people. I don't know if they're like famous or whatnot, but she's the child of two very wealthy people that don't care about her, essentially.
Yeah,
so
they're
she's
just quite
a
like,
wild child.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do. Do you remember? I don't think it's that important.
I don't think we even know. I think we just know that they're pretty absent and she can do whatever hell she likes.
Yeah. So she's used to getting her own way.
Yeah. And I think like, so throughout the book, there's obviously a lot of like addiction is mentioned quite a lot. And like she does end up getting clean in the end, but like she struggles with it a lot. In fact, I did read, someone said that they thought, so it says, this is like a long review. It's on the Bibliophile website, we can link to it. It says, in general, it presents an overly rosy view of substance addiction and the road to fame. Neither of these things are particularly difficult battles for any of the characters, and to the extent there are consequences, they are very limited. The lack of consequences for heavy drug use in this book is especially strange to me. I don't understand why Reed would choose to write it that way. So I don't know what your thoughts were on that, and if you had any.
I guess I don't know if it's that kind of book.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's quite like a light-hearted fun book, but obviously like these topics are super serious. So I think it's an interesting thing to think about, like whether it needed to be addressed in it. But also I do think there are consequences, so I'm not sure I fully agree. Like, I think there are consequences to the addiction in the book. I don't think it's presented as if it's like completely fine that they're doing this, and that they like I don't think addiction is presented in a rosy way in the book. I think it's presented in quite a serious way.
I think that's just my take. She touches on dark themes, right? And we see Billy and Daisy struggle in different ways. Like, Daisy gets married to this guy who is like, I don't know, particularly, he's like...
Basically just makes her do loads of drugs with him.
Yeah, it's not a particularly healthy situation to be in for her.
No.
Billy really struggles with it, and Daisy obviously isn't the best person to be around, because she also like really likes Billy. But then he realizes that he has to stay clean for his family. But when their manager dies, they both really struggle with that. I think that it touches maybe on dark themes without having to explore it too deep, but it, just to give you a pinch of the fact that they are struggling, like they are flawed. I think it's just to show that they are flawed rather than go into maybe that, because you see the consequences of it. It does rip up the band.
I agree,
it does have effect on other people, without like how Billy never has time for Graham, like in the relationship dynamics. I don't know if it's that. I don't know. I think I'd have to go back and think about it, but I don't think it's that type of book to maybe explore addiction in that much depth.
Yeah. Also, I think if you think about the other kind of things in a similar genre, they treat it in a similar way, I think, in terms of like this era of bands and stuff.
I feel like it's supposed to be I feel like it needs to be it's hedonistic for a reason, because that era was hedonistic. So I don't. They're recalling the,
like what happened.
That part of it. Yeah.
Because, so people say that the book was inspired by Fleetwood Mac, right? Or potentially.
Yeah, there's like Fleetwood Mac / Beatle type vibes. Yeah, I think there's like at least two sets of people in Fleetwood Mac are couples, or were couples, or did break up. And like you see it with like ABBA as well, like they were both couples and then they both broke up and they're in bands and they did everything creatively together and stuff like that. But it is like a, and then the Beatles as well, like with John Lennon and
Yeah.
And Paul McCartney, and then having like the Oko factor.
Also, I, confession, literally had to Google about three times whether they were actually a real band or not. It's so realistic, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm doing it now. I'm reading Malibu Rising, and sometimes I'm like, they're not real people.
Are they real?
They're not.
Literally, but they're when not. You read, like, when you read reviews and stuff, so many people literally had to Google it, which is amazing that she set up this whole world that people have to check that it's fiction. How cool is that? As a writer, you've set up such a believable situation that people literally have to check it's fiction.
Someone's just done a... Was Mick Reaver and Evelyn Hugo? Or like Daisy Jones? Mick Reaver is in the new Taylor Reid Jenkins book.
Oh, I haven't read it yet.
But, yeah. I don't know why I went off that tangent, because you were just talking about the band being real, and I was just thinking, oh, okay, yeah, that's why I went off on that tangent in my
you
head.
You went off that tangent. I know. I can understand.
No, you didn't.
There,
you didn't know you... that. I was doing it in my head. I was just like, are they real?
Were you thinking like about the world that she set up and like putting like people from her other books in her other books? Is that what you're thinking of?
Not well. Oh. I got there.
I was like,
eventually.
Maybe that's how you got there.
I got there eventually, but when you were saying I had to Google whether Daisy Jones and the Six were actually a real band, I in my head reading, and I know Malibu Rising is fiction, but in my head, sometimes I was like, oh wait, they're not real people. This is a fictional, like, family in Malibu. With a fictional dad who was a famous rock star in the 70s.
Okay.
Or pop star. But like, he hasn't, Daisy Jones hasn't crossed. But then that's when I went on the tangent you just went on in my head, where like, Daisy Jones hasn't.
At least brought it back to the room now, though, guys. Yeah.
Daisy Jones hasn't featured in that. But I had read something else by Taylor Jenkins Reid called Evidence of an Affair, which is like a short that you can get on Amazon. I think you can download it for free. And Daisy Jones is like name dropped in that.
That's
which
really
is
cool.
Just fantastic. And so yes, she has created a world or a universe where these characters coexist.
Yeah.
And so why I was like, oh, it's because I googled Mick Reaver, who is like a character in Malibu Rising, and someone's right. Like, oh, he's in Evelyn Hugo, but is he? I'll let you read.
I can't remember. I read Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo last year. I can't remember it. What's his name?
Mick Reaver.
Who is he? What's he like?
He is he's like a pop star in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
I would say like I really liked The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, but it is a good book, but Daisy Jones and the Six is just exceptional, and I think it's because of the way it's written.
Yeah.
So, like, I do like Taylor Jenkins Reid generally. I mean, I haven't read Malibu Rising, but it is on my bookshelf, ready to go. I've got a million things to read.
I'm so close to finishing it.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. Let me know what you think of it afterwards, and then maybe we could do an episode on it. We'll become the Taylor Jenkins Reid fan club.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to read the book club book at the moment, The Heat Wave, and I don't like it. Sorry.
You're the first one.
I know. I'm not very far through it though, so I'm not gonna pass too much judgment yet. But
I'm gonna read it this weekend because I need to finish the other one.
I feel like it would make a good film. Which actually, so Daisy Jones and the Six is gonna be a mini series, isn't it? A mini series or just a series? Maybe just a series. I don't know.
Is it like a limited one? I guess because it's just one book.
Yeah. So you had some thoughts on the casting, didn't you?
Yeah, well, only just like one real thought, because in my head, and I'm not hating, I think Sam Claflin as Billy Dunn is perfectly fine. I think that's good casting. It's perfectly fine.
It's not great. But, it's just fine.
But in my head, I think when I was reading it, I was thinking of the Billy in Stranger Things, the one played by Dacre Montgomery. Because he is a Billy in Stranger Things. That's probably why I went
straight
to another
Billy.
Maybe that's
why, yeah. Your head was just like, association.
But, I mean, he's hot and he's Australian. And in
what
Stranger
more could
Things,
you want?
He's got, exactly. He has the rock star hair in the 80s. Well, in Stranger Things, in set is set in the 80s, so he has that sort of like, he has that sort of like gives a shit, doesn't give a shit. I don't know. I think he could play a flawed rock star. That's all. So in my head, I was like, this is great. But the casting of Riley Koff, I think I said that wrong, that at least her surname, she is, I think, is just great. She is like Elvis Presley's granddaughter. So, I mean,
famous family.
Can't say any more rock and roll than that, you know?
Rock and roll.
Or Lisa Marie's daughter. So, like, yeah, I think.
Imagine if Elvis Presley was your granddad. Like,
I know. I know. I think she never met him, though, did she? Because she's like our age and he died.
Yeah, but still. You go to a party, you're like, guess who my granddad is?
I don't know. And then so Sam Claflin is playing Billy Dunn, and then Suki Waterhouse is playing Karen. But I have this like ridiculous, ugh, I don't like Suki Waterhouse, even though I don't know her. I don't not like her.
I don't know her, by the way, guys. She's not on my speed dial.
No. I think it's because she went out with Bradley Cooper, and I was like, oh, how dare she? But it's completely irrational. And actually, she is a singer. Like, she is a model and an actress, but she also sings and she does music and stuff. So it would be interesting to see her in this role, I think.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I like it when books that I really like get what's the word, adapted. It's just exciting. Like, I remember when One Day came out in the cinema, me and my friend were like there straight away crying our eyes out.
Did you like that film?
No, it's no nothing. It doesn't got nothing on the book, that film. Absolutely nothing. It's nothing. The book is so good, and the film's fine, but it's just fine, you know. So.
Yeah. Can we talk about the ending?
Mm. Should we end the podcast episode with the ending of the book?
It is.
The feels, man.
Right. And so I was listening to another podcast about this book, and they thought that it was quite like open-ended as to what happened. Right. Let's just get there. So okay. I think we already briefly touched upon the fact that there was an attraction between Billy and Daisy. Like, it's undeniable they're electric, right?
Electric.
They're electric.
Avenue.
We're gonna walk on to Electric Avenue.
Oh no. It wouldn't be an episode of Bookish without you singing, mate. So
they have an undeniable connection. Everyone can see it, even Camilla can see it, and Daisy makes a play for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work out? Basically, it doesn't. Not for her. That's when she goes off and she runs off with that Italian
guy. Well, I think because he's like, I think he is attracted to her, but he like, Camilla's his like ride or die, as you said. So like, he's like, I can't ruin things with Camilla. Like, I just can't. Respect. Like,
he already knows that going down that path with Daisy is destruction, basically. Yeah. So he makes a really sound choice that I think in that time, I don't know, that would have been quite as realistic, maybe. I feel like you hear more stories of like, guys in the 70s or rock stars in the 70s, men and women taking the more destructive path rather than maybe staying grounded or focused or so I was quite surprised, but I'm glad.
Yeah, because you kind of want the best for them, don't you? Like, you get quite fond of the characters, I think. Well, I think it's strong characterization in this book, I have to say.
Yeah. And then,
so that happens.
Camilla obviously gets wind of this, and she confronts Daisy. She confronts Daisy, and that is when we get the plot twist.
Yeah.
Which is that the interviewer this whole time, because they basically go off book, kind of, and break the fourth wall, and essentially the interviewer is Billy Dunn's daughter. And you're just like, Which is absolutely great, because basically Daisy's like, oh, Daisy asks her a question, doesn't she? Like, in that moment that takes you out of the room.
Yeah.
From the structure of that book to tell you that the interviewer is like, what is the baby's name? What is the girl's name? Julia.
Yeah.
It's Julia Dunn, who is their daughter. And so they talk about that moment that Camilla comes to confront Daisy. And it, I think it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you like that moment?
Yeah. Like, I loved the ending. I think it's so good. And then you've got the letters at the back. Yeah. So this is a massive spoiler, by the way, guys. So turn off now if you don't want this spoiler. Just warning you. So the letter's like, hi girls, this is from Camilla to her daughters. Hi girls, I need your help. After I'm gone, give your dad some time and then please tell him to call Daisy Jones. Her number is in my date book in the second drawer of my nightstand. Tell your father, I said, at the very least, the two of them owe me a song.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. She dies of lupus, I think, doesn't she? So like she knows she's very ill, and then she's like planned that. And then you just don't know what's like, is he going to contact her? Like, I've got tears in my eyes.
It's like in that confrontation, she gives Daisy an ultimatum. She's just like, you leave, you back your ideas up or you leave the band. Or basically she just told her to leave the band. And so Daisy did. She was like, you're not good for Billy in this moment. You're wrecking everything. Leave the band. And so she does. And then
she gets like, clean as well, doesn't she, when she leaves, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's so nice about it is that, like you said with the letters, but Camilla's not stupid. And like, that's something that is like a trend throughout. She realises that there is something there. And now that she's gone, she's giving him permission to do it, which was just so lovely. And then it's like open-ended. It's like, does he connect with her, does he not? I hope he does.
Yeah, I hope he does too.
You can have two loves of your lives.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, he made a good choice at the time, but now that she's gone, why shouldn't he pursue it, you know?
And then I don't think that either of them would have been in the right frame of mind or in the right place to have taken on an actual series. It would have just been carnage.
Yeah.
So now that they're both clean, they're both sort of not rock stars anymore, these things aren't as accessible to them or as easy to get. Like, they can probably actually be serious about sitting down and having a life together, or consider having a life together if that's what they want, or at least a song.
So yeah. Brilliant book.
Yeah, it's great. And also that she writes like the songs. She writes like all the songs. They're all at the back of the book. So I'm excited to hear them. Because I told you.
Oh, yeah. Because
I find it hard to hear. I find it hard to read. Like, I don't read poetry because I just find it hard to interpret, I guess.
Fair enough.
And so I find that hard with music as well. Like,
I think you need to hear
how she intends it.
It will make or break the series, depending on how good the songs are, I think.
Yeah, I'll be interested to know who she's got, how they've decided to do that, who they've got to produce the music and stuff.
Yeah.
If it's Fleetwood Mac vibes, that's what I'm expecting.
Like, hopefully. I hope so. Ooh, so good. But yeah, so...
Amazing book, guys. Honestly, it's so easy to read. Such an easy summer read. Like, you
definitely
won't regret
recommend it.
And obviously there's like loads of other characters as well. And Daisy has like a best friend and there's the stuff going on with Graham and Karen because they split up in the end, don't they?
But yeah, no, definitely recommend. We'll let you know how we get on with Malibu Rising maybe in the next episode. But yeah, hope you don't get too hot this week, guys, if you're in the UK.
I think it's supposed to be cooler this weekend.
I hope
which
so.
Which is such a relief.
Yeah.
We're always saying like, oh, we never have good weather, and then we get good weather and then we always complain about...
Because it's like, it's not nice, it's just muggy. Like, it's not like nice heat, it's just hot. It's like sticky and horrible. And we don't have aircon. So I would love this weather if we had aircon, but we don't. So
yeah, we don't have aircon, so yeah, it would just we're built for cold
We are.
Houses are built for the cold, not the heat. Yeah. That's it.
But anyway, I'll see you shortly on a work call.
Yeah, my God, we've got half an hour. I'm going to go make some breakfast.
But yeah, okay. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. Bye. And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.